Blog Talk Radio. Sorry, the mailbox is full. You cannot leave a message for this user. Goodbye. For this user, goodbye.
Time, and to all our listeners from around the world, the number to ring the show is 347-539-5367, and from the UK, 001-347-539-5367, and the chat room is open. Well, we've got a really, really, really good show tonight with Grant Cameron. So we're going to, it's about UFOs, it's about Hillary, and, well, Grant has been a UFO researcher since 1975, is a winner of the Leeds Conference International Researcher of the Year and US Congress Researcher of the Year. He's a world-recognized expert on presidents and the UFOs, the Canadian government, and the UFOs as well. Can we please welcome Grant Cameron to the show? Hello, Grant.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, my friend. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's very nice to be on. I appreciate your interest in what I'm doing.
Oh, yes. I think a lot of people around the world are as well, wanting to know a bit more about disclosure and about Hillary, you know, if she comes president.
Well, it does appear something's going to happen.
Yes, but some of the listeners in the UK, some may know about you. Can you just give us a bit of insight about, you know, a little intro about yourself?
Okay, I've been a researcher since 1975. I had a personal sighting in 1975 based upon some sightings that were going on in a small town just north of the U.S. border here in Canada where I live. And this town had UFOs there for a year, and I went out just to see what everybody else was looking at. Really wasn't interested in UFOs, and the thing the first night flew right in front of my car, and I've been hooked ever since. So that's what got me going, and I published a manuscript, which is now going to be published down the road by a publisher out of Toronto, Canada, on these sightings that took place for a year. But at the time in 1977, I tried to get the manuscript published, and nobody was interested in publishing the manuscript. The local publisher here where I live in a big city should have published it, but she said to me, "Mr. Cameron, you may believe in this kind of stuff. Count me among the unbelievers." And so from that point in 1975, all I was interested in is finding out what who knew what was going on, that somebody had to know the answer to what I had seen that first night. And I saw it a number of while I was there during 1975. So I was interested in finding out who knew. So I went and I researched the Canadian government, what the Canadian government knew. And that led me to researching the former president of Penn State University, a big engineering Ivy League college in the United States, Dr. Eric Walker, who indicated to us he knew what was going on but didn't want to talk about it. We wrote a book on that. And then his research led me to the president of the United States. I was looking for his files at the Truman Library, and it was at the Truman Library I decided to ask the archivist, what have you got on UFOs? Because the president is the most powerful person in the world. The UFO subject is the most important subject in the world. And so my question was, what does the most powerful person in the world know about the most important subject? And that led me to about 30 years of research on the involvement of the President of the United States with UFOs.
Do you think there will be a disclosure if everybody gets the President's job?
I've always said that I didn't think it would happen, and now I'm actually going to say now I think something's going to happen. Basically, to give you the background of what the story is all about, I have a book coming out within the next couple of weeks called The Clinton UFO Storybook, ET Politics in the White House. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell the story of the Clintons. And it's almost a 300-page book which talks about the very great interest that Bill and Hillary Clinton had in UFOs. And when Bill Clinton was president from 1993 to 2001, he dealt with the UFO subject on a number of occasions. A number of his departments dealt with this UFO subject, and he talked about it a little bit. Some stuff came out, but basically nothing happened. And my assessment is that the President of the United States is sworn to secrecy. The President of the United States is the one that's running the cover-up. There is no evil government. There is no cabal. There's no Illuminati. There's no Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. There's just the President of the United States who has decided, for reasons that they believe are legitimate, to keep this subject classified. It's classified top secret, SCI, which means even the actual existence of the program is classified. You can't even mention that there is a program, and that's why there's been this complete denial. What has changed in the last couple of years is the man by the name of John Podesta. John Podesta was a staff secretary to President Clinton when he came in 1993. He went on to become chief of staff for the president, for Bill Clinton. The chief of staff is the second most powerful person in the White House. He has more power than the vice president. He is the person that interacts with the president. If there's a UFO briefing, if something happens on UFOs, it goes through the chief of staff's office. So John Podesta was the chief of staff for Bill Clinton for 3 years. He actually got to see what's called the presidential daily briefing. The president every morning gets a top secret briefing that is orally about 45 minutes or about 15 to 16 pages of the most top secret stuff that's happened in the last day. John Podesta saw all that. So John Podesta knows what's going on. John Podesta is what's called a Madison man. John Podesta has never run for politics. He's not interested in running for politics. He is a theoretical guy. He's the most powerful Democrat in the United States. He started the institute called the Center for American Progress. It's a big Democratic think tank in Washington, D.C. He's what's called a Madison man. He's very interested in one subject in particular, and that is open government. James Madison, who was the former president of the United States, said that you cannot run a government unless the people know what's going on. If you are going to run a secret government, the people's vote is useless. The only reason that you can vote in the Great Britain, or we can vote in Canada, or people can vote in the United States, is when you assume you know what the truth is and what's going on in government. Otherwise, you can't vote. And so John Podesta is a Madison guy. He believes you have to have open government, that in order for you to run a democratic country, you have to have open government. So he's very much into open government, but he's also very interested in UFOs. We don't know why, but he's very interested. When he was at the Clinton White House, he was known as the X-Files man in the Clinton White House. He was very interested in the X-Files show that was going on in the 1990s. He'd go home and watch every episode. He has this very great interest. And so what he has done is he had tried to get Bill Clinton to disclose the UFO secret. He was not able to convince Bill Clinton to do it. They did disclose a billion pages of documents based upon an executive order in 1995 that Bill Clinton signed. And this is what people don't realize, is that they say, well, there's, you know, material that's above top secret and it's above the president. The president does have a need to know. People need to know this very clear subject, and that is that everything that's classified in the United States, all the classification levels are set not by law, but by executive order. Executive orders are signed by the president of the United States. That means that all secrecy, all classifications, top secret, restricted, secret, SCI, all the different levels of secrecy, they're all controlled by the president. The president makes them up. The president issues them. He is in charge. So all secrecy is controlled by the president. So in 1995, Bill Clinton produced an executive order which said that anything over 25 years had to be declassified. And from that executive order, 1 billion pages of documents were declassified in the United States. So Bill Clinton was sort of interested in declassification, but the UFO secrets, for whatever reason, did not get declassified. Then Barack Obama came into office, and John Podesta became Barack Obama's lawyer. Barack Obama was a constitutional lawyer, and Podesta was his advisor and his legal counsel in the White House during 2014. During that period of time, Podesta talked to Obama. He tried to get Obama to disclose the UFO material, and he was not able to convince Obama to do it for whatever reason. We don't know what it was, but Obama did not disclose the material. So when Obama leaves the White House in February of 2015, he writes what's become now a very famous tweet. At the last day of his time with Obama, he says, "My biggest disappointment of 2014 was I was not able to initiate UFO disclosure," which basically means that he talked to Barack Obama and he was not able to convince Barack Obama to disclose. He went on from there to now he's the chairman for the Hillary Clinton campaign. And Hillary Clinton is winning the poll. She looks like she will become the next president of the United States. And so Podesta, this is his big issue, is open government, that we need openness. We need the people to know what's going on in government. And he's also interested in UFOs. So he talked to Hillary Clinton, and he convinced Hillary Clinton that she has to disclose. She has to disclose the documents, that the people, the cover-up cannot go on. And then he came forward, and he started to get reporters ask Hillary about the aliens. And finally, a reporter by the name of Damon Steer, who was in New Hampshire, asked Hillary about the UFO subject. And she said, "I've agreed with John Podesta. I've made him a promise that when I become the president, I will disclose the UFO stuff. And I will look through the material, and I will take out all the stuff that's national security. I will release what I can." John Podesta has since then gone on an interview himself and said that he convinced Hillary to do it, and that when Hillary sits down, and this is how it works, there is no secret government, there is no cabal, there is no breakaway government, there is just the president of the United States. And John Podesta said, Hillary will sit down, she will look at the documents, and she will decide what can she release and what can she not release. The president is in control. Hillary says she will release. And she's in a box. Even if she doesn't release stuff when she gets in there, if, for example, she goes in and says, "I looked at the stuff and I can't disclose because of national security," she will have confirmed that there is a cover-up and that she's in control of it, and that will still end the cover-up. So I think something very serious is going to happen. I don't know what's going to be released, but John Podesta has clearly stated, and you got to remember, this guy was the chief of staff. He was the second most powerful person in the White House. He said there are classified files that can be declassified. So he's basically saying there are classified files, even though the U.S. government says there are no classified files, there is no ETs here, there was no cover-up. John Podesta has said, yes, there are. There are classified files that can be disclosed. And so we'll see what happens when Hillary gets in. I think they're in a box already. I think it's already out. They're in a position now where they've said they're going to disclose and that there are files. And Hillary has even made a statement. This is the first time any presidential candidate or any president has ever said. She's the first one to say they may already be here, confirming that, yes, not only are there extraterrestrials out there in outer space, they may actually be on this planet.
Yes, I totally agree there, Grant, as well. What do you think? How would you think the people would react if Hillary came out and told everything about ETs? They are living amongst us. How do you think people will react to that?
I'm not sure that the people will react to because I think the people basically know. I think the poll is 80% of people think the government is lying about the UFO subject. So
yeah.
I don't think it's going to shock them. Who it's going to shock is the media. The media has always maintained this is kind of a joke. They haven't really taken it too seriously. They're going to be in a bad position because then they're suddenly going to have to admit that, you know, they were off base and they're going to have to start doing stories. The one that's going to get injured the worst is science. So most scientists, the reason there's a cover-up is not because of the government. The reason there's a cover-up is not because of the media. The media just does whatever stories, if it was going to be a story that would run and they would make money, they would do it. It is science. It is science that says you cannot get here from there. Time and space, you can't go past the speed of light. It is basically materialist scientists who are living in the 17th century Newtonian physics era who are saying this is impossible. You cannot have extraterrestrials here. You cannot have telepathy. The materialistic science, it's a very secular world where the physical universe is the basis of everything they believe, and they are basically saying this cannot happen. When science says, if a major scientist or a major scientific group or a major scientific article were to come out from an esteemed scientific journal were to come out and say, yes, we believe there's ETs here, everybody would jump on the bandwagon. It is science that is behind the cover-up, not the media. The media will print it, plus the White House will go along with it. And the example of that was in 1996. If you remember, there was the Mars meteorite that suddenly NASA was going to come up with this news conference that they had this meteorite from Mars where they believed they had these, indications of life in the meteorite, these sort of fossilized bacteria. And Bill Clinton jumped on that the same day and had a news conference, a big news conference, and said, oh, this shows there may be life in outer space. He's very interested. He actually said to Paul Davids, a friend of mine, he said, I'm fascinated in this subject. Bill Clinton is very interested in UFOs and extraterrestrial life and all these types of things. So the government would jump on it. They want somebody else to do the disclosure. They want somebody else to do something. Then they'll jump on it. It is science that's the major thing. So I think the people will react very well. It's the scientists who have said, this can't happen. There are no extraterrestrials out there. You can't get there because it kills the materialistic notion of how the world works. They're saying it's a materialistic world. And I say, and I will say it categorically, that the more you look at the UFO subject, the more you understand how they get here, how this thing works, the less physical the subject becomes. It is not a materialistic world. It is not a physical world. It is a world almost like the Tibetans talk about with a dream world. There is no time, there is no space, there is no physical world. Everything is connected. That's how they get here. So the scientists, I think, are going to take the biggest hit on this thing. The whole scientific paradigm of how the world works is going to change and change very, very fast once this is confirmed.
But you know, and I know, that you can see UFOs all around every day. Even where I live on the northeast coast, there's a big, what we call, very hot spot area. And we see them twice a week. Everybody sees them around, you know, and they report it. We keep reporting it, but you don't get a lot in the paper.
Because it's been sort of, what's happened is that the government has, every time they've been asked about it, they treat it like it's a joke, like it's and the media wants to be the cool guys. And because science says this thing doesn't exist, you don't want to go against science. You don't want to be the reporter who asks the stupid question. I'll give you an example. In 1997, Webster Hubble, who was the assistant attorney general for Bill Clinton, wrote a book called Friends in High Places. And in that book, he came out and he stated that Bill Clinton had given him two jobs. He said, if I put you over there in justice, I want you to get the answer to two questions. Number one, who killed JFK? And number two, are there UFOs? And Webster Hubble wrote in his book that he went out and he wasn't able to get very clear answers on what was going on. When that story broke, the very day that that book came out, a woman by the name of Deborah Orne from the New York Post, the New York, very conservative newspaper in the state of New York, came out and asked the presidential secretary, is it true what Mr. Hubble, is this true that Mr. Hubble was asked by Bill Clinton to go and look at UFOs? And the press secretary said, no, he made a joke. He said, oh, no, we gave that to the alien. There was this alien called Palode who was on the Weekly World News tabloid newspaper, and they were always putting this Bill Clinton and the alien and stuff. He said, no, we gave that job to the alien, and made a joke out of it. So she had a follow-up question. She gets to ask a follow-up. She said, is it true what Mr. Hubble writes in his book? And the press secretary said, we are not going to comment on what private people write in their private books. That was the end of the question. She couldn't ask another question. So Deborah Orne was interviewed later on, and she stated, I sat there and waited for another reporter to follow up on my question. And they all rolled over and played dead. And the reason they rolled over and played dead is because they didn't want to lose their access to the White House. If you're a reporter and you work your way up through the ranks, through all these different newspapers, and you finally get to be the White House reporter for whatever newspaper, you don't want to be the person who's asking the dumb UFO question. You want to ask about international relations, relations with Great Britain. You want to ask some real, you know, smart-sounding question. You don't want to ask the UFO question because your newspaper may say, that was a stupid question. You're back to doing the traffic report. You're no longer in the White House. Everybody's afraid to ask the UFO question. And that's basically how that works. So the media has backed off it. It was originally in 1947. It was on the front page of the newspaper. And a lot of people, when I put up the Hillary stuff, what's happening with Hillary now, there's a lot of people in the United States who hate Hillary Clinton. They hate her with a passion. So as soon as I put it up, people will start posting, you know, Hillary this, Hillary that, she did this, she did that. But what is the truth of the matter is, it really doesn't matter about what Hillary did in the past or whatever. The fact is that Hillary has brought up this issue. And because John Podesta encouraged this issue, it means John Podesta is her campaign chairman. He's the one, there's just been an article in Time magazine written about John Podesta in the last couple of days. And it says John Podesta has the first and the last word on everything in the Hillary Clinton campaign. He's running the campaign. He's the smartest guy in the room. He's the guy that's orchestrating this thing. And so when he says to a reporter, ask Hillary about the aliens, it means he's polled the issue. There was no way in any presidential campaign that's going to cost $6 billion where you're going to allow a question, a subject to come up that's going to injure the candidate. So before he had this UFO question asked, encouraged a reporter to ask it, he knew that this was a good issue. He knew that this was not going to backfire. So when Hillary was asked about the question, she didn't turn into the crazy person who lost all the votes because she's crazy and believes in UFOs. It actually went the other way. So we are now in a position, the first time since 1947, where we can actually talk about UFOs and people don't laugh at us because Hillary has taken away the stigma. That's one of the most important things about Hillary coming and using this. And the way they protected Hillary was to say, this is an interest of John Podesta. This is really not Hillary that wants this. This is John Podesta that wants that. And she's going to help out John Podesta. But nobody's laughing. Hillary's talking about UFOs. The media still is not really picking up the story, except for CNN. And CNN picked up the story, and I don't know if you saw it. They had an interview with John Podesta, and they asked John Podesta about this, and John confirmed, yes, it is my obsession. I'm interested in this UFO thing. There are documents that have been declassified. And then the reporter says to him, are you saying that there's a cover-up? Are there documents? And John Podesta said, well, we'll see what happens when the documents get released. And then the reporter was even more shocked because this is a high-profile guy saying this. And he said, are you saying there are aliens here on Earth? And John Podesta just stonewalls him and says, I'll just say there's lots of planets out there, which basically confirms to the CNN, this thing's for real. He's seen the documents. There are documents. So CNN was stunned by this statement, and that's changed the whole attitude, that it's no longer the dumb question. So people see the stuff. People will believe it, but it's the media and it's the scientific community who is going to be sort of rocked by this thing because they've sort of almost like a religion. They've sort of boxed themselves into a corner and saying, this isn't true, this isn't true, this isn't true. And then suddenly the disclosure comes and it's true, and suddenly they have to say that they've wasted their entire life. Everything that they've said has been wrong, and they're going to have to try to back out of this.
What about Barack Obama then? He's had questions asked him many times to him as well. I don't know if he gave a reply once before about, I'm not saying about aliens, but he didn't know what really to say.
Well, he's changed. You see, what you got to remember is that Gerald Ford, before he became president, was adamant about the fact that there should be a UFO investigation. Jimmy Carter said that when he became president, he would release all the UFO files. Both those guys, when they got into the White House, never used the word UFO. They never talked about UFOs. There was a subject that never came up. They completely shut up. And the same thing happened with the Bushes. The Bushes didn't talk about UFOs. Ronald Reagan really didn't talk about UFOs either, except for that one statement that he made about the alien invasion. Otherwise, he didn't talk about UFOs either. And Bill Clinton talked about UFOs a little bit, but Barack Obama has changed the whole structure. Barack Obama will actually, if you watch all the statements, he's made a number of statements on UFOs. At no time will Barack Obama say, no, this is not, there are no UFOs. It's a, you know, there's no cover up. That's not what he says. So when he's asked the question, for example, he goes to Roswell, New Mexico in March of 2012. And when you go to Roswell, and most presidents end up in Roswell at some point campaigning because it's a swing state, he has to use the UFO joke. So in 2012, he's running for a re-election, and he uses the UFO joke, and he says, the question that's asked me most by 9 and 10-year-old kids is, Mr. President, what's the deal with Roswell? Is it true what they say? And then Barack Obama says, and I look at the little kids and I tell them, you know, if I told you the truth about Roswell, I'd have to kill you. And he says, oh, you can see the kids, their eyes get all big. And, of course, everybody laughs. This is a joke. And then Barack Obama stops. He hesitates. And then he says, we'll keep our secrets here. And then he starts the speech. So, basically, that was not in the speech. So, he's basically saying, he's not saying Roswell's not real. He's saying, we'll keep our secrets, which means I know what happened, and I've chosen to keep it secret. So, it's different than Ford and Carter. He's talking about UFOs. The same thing happened with, this was done on BBC, if you've seen the interview with Will Smith, Men in Black, the latest Men in Black movie.
Yes.
Will Smith gets an invitation to go to the White House. And on BBC, he tells this story about Jaden, who is his son. And Jaden is at the time was about 13 years old, fascinated with conspiracies, fascinated with UFOs. And so Will Smith and Jaden and his wife get an invitation to go to the White House. So Jaden says to his dad, he says, Dad, when I get to the White House, I want to ask Barack Obama about the aliens. And he says, no, you're not. You're not going to ask Barack. He said, yeah, Dad, I want to ask Barack Obama about the aliens. He said, you are not to talk to the president about aliens. Do not do that to me. And he said, they get to the White House and they're doing the tour and they get into the Situation Room. And the Situation Room is the center of power in the White House. This is the place you've seen the famous picture of them sitting in the Situation Room where they're watching the screens when Bin Laden is killed during the raid.
Yeah,
that's all watched on TV. That happened in the Situation Room. This is the center of power. So Barack Obama is in the Situation Room with Will Smith and with Jaden. And you got to remember, he knows this is going to get out. He knows when he makes this statement that this is going to go public. So he's there, and Jaden looks over at Will Smith, his father, and he says, "Dad, what's my punishment?" And he says, "No, no." He looks at him, "No, don't ask." And then he says, "Mr. President." And then Barack Obama looks at him, and he says, "I know what you want to ask. You want to ask about the aliens." And he says, "Yeah." And he says, "I can neither confirm nor deny that extraterrestrials have visited the Earth. But if they had, and if there had been a top secret meeting, it would have taken place in this very room." And Jaden goes, "Yeah, I knew there was aliens. I knew there was aliens." So Will Smith tells his story on BBC. Now, everybody's going to know that Barack Obama said that. He knew that was going to go public. He didn't have to say that. So Barack is in a situation where he's not lying, but he's still evading the subject. He's not releasing it because he's sworn to secrecy. If it's top secret, yeah, special access, he cannot even acknowledge the program. Forget about it. He can't say there's a program and I'm not going to talk about it. It's too high classified. He can't even mention there's a program. And the last one that's the most significant is he appears on one of the top TV talk shows in the United States, which is the Kimmel Show. And he's on the Kimmel Show, and you got to keep in mind that Bill Clinton was on the show before him. So Bill Clinton goes on, and Kimmel's very interested in UFOs. So Kimmel says, "You know, if I were to become the president," he says to Bill Clinton, "if I were to become president, you know, I would just have my hand on the Bible." And he says, "The next thing I would do, I'd run to the White House, man, as soon as I get sworn in, and I'd look to see where the UFO files." And he said to Clinton, "What did you do?" And Clinton is the difference between Obama and Clinton is Clinton just simply denies it. He just says, "No." He says, "I looked for the Roswell files. No, I looked at the Roswell files, and I determined there wasn't an alien crash. I looked for Area 51, and there was no alien there. And I'm very interested, but no, I wasn't able to find anything." That's his statement. And so what happens is there's a guy by the name of Ben Hansen who runs a show called Fact versus Faked in the United States. He does an analysis of the Bill Clinton interview, and he's able to determine that Bill Clinton is being evasive, that Bill Clinton probably isn't telling the truth about not knowing what's going on. So he puts out this analysis, and then a couple months later, Barack Obama ends up on the same show. And what you've got to remember is when you get on a show this big where you've got, you know, 10 or 15 million people watching, the president does not go on there without knowing what the questions are. So he comes onto the show, and Kimmel says to him, "I'm going to ask you about the UFO thing, and you've got to remember that they're going to watch everything you do. Every motion that you make, they're going to be watching." And that he's referring to this Ben Hansen review that was done with Bill Clinton, that Bill Clinton was being evasive. So Barack Obama says, "Yes, I know that Ben Hansen's going to be doing an analysis of my actions and my how many times I swallow, how I hold my hands to see whether I'm telling the truth or not." And so Kimmel asks him, he says, "Okay, you know, if I were to go to the White House, I would, you know, I would try to get the UFO files." And then Barack says, "That's why you'd never be president." And then he goes on and he says, "Well, what did you do?" And this is the key question that you would ask to a person at that level. "What did you do? Did you get briefed?" He says, "What did you do?" And at that point, Barack says, "I can't reveal anything." So he's not saying, "No, there's not a cover-up." He's not saying nothing happened. He says, "I can't reveal anything," which is exactly the right answer. He can't reveal anything. It's top secret special access. He can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And Ben Hansen, when he does the review of that, when he's asked that question, "What did you do?" They have high-def TV, so they're watching the lapel pin. Barack Obama has a lapel pin on his left lapel. They're watching the lapel pin go up and down. And Barack Obama, when he's asked that question, is breathing 42 times a minute. He's hyperventilating. He is very, very scared as he's being asked this question. And you got to remember, he's been a president for like, you know, 7 years already, and suddenly he's petrified by a question, which indicates he's very careful how he's going to answer the question. He doesn't want to lie, but he's very, very scared as he's asking the question, which reveals that Barack Obama knows, and Barack Obama is the most left-wing president there's ever been. And if Barack Obama knows, they all knew, and that's how it works. Constitutionally, the president of the United States has to know. It's absolute insanity to say that the president of the United States is not running the show. Barack Obama is a constant. He was a senior lecturer at the University of Chicago. His specialty was constitutional law. In the United States Constitution, if you are dealing with aliens, if you are dealing with a foreign power. If you are dealing with a foreign power, the only person that can constitutionally deal with another power, whether it's sign a treaty or negotiate with a foreign power, whether it be Great Britain or Canada or aliens, is the head of state. The president is the head of state constitutionally in the United States. The only one that can negotiate with aliens is the president. You can't say, well, we're going to let some evil cabal negotiate with constitutionally. You wouldn't get away with it because people would defect. People would run. The president, you got to remember, the president is the commander in chief of the U.S. military, the civilian commander. And the military takes an oath. Everybody in the high-ranking military take an oath to uphold the Constitution and to obey the law. So everybody is swearing that they will uphold the fact that he is the head of the military. Nobody's going to violate telling the president. He's at the top of that pyramid. He's also, people will say, well, the CIA or one of the intelligence agencies, they have the material, but they're not giving it to the president. What you got to, if you want to know about this, what you do is you take, I don't care what it is, you can take the CIA. The CIA, Google search it with mission statement. What does the CIA do? If you do mission statement, CIA, you will see that the CIA has only one job. One job only. They don't sell stuff. They don't do anything. They do one job. They work to provide intelligence for the president of the United States and his executive and the two head of the chairman of the Senate and House Intelligence Committee. That's all they do. They provide the best intelligence for the president. The president is in charge of all 17 intelligence agencies. They're all reporting to him and him only. So the president is at the top of every pyramid. And if there was a situation where the president wasn't in charge of the situation, people would defect. Somebody would run. Somebody would say this is not true. And let me give you an example. In 2004, after 9/11 happened in the United States, George Bush made a decision to turn the satellites internal on the United States of America and listen to American phone calls and watch American internet traffic. And what he was trying to do is he's trying to find terrorists inside the United States of America. When he did that, it became an illegal action. And what happened was every black budget program, everything that happens in the United States that's passed by the president, whether it's classified, unclassified, has to go to the attorney general. He is the top lawyer in the United States. The guy at the time in 2004, his name was John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft got this report that Bush was doing this, and he said, I'm not going to sign it. It is illegal. And he said, I'm not going to sign it, and so they wouldn't be able to come into government. He's the top lawyer and saying, this is illegal, I'm not going to sign it. At the same time, John Ashcroft has an appendix attack. He's in the hospital, in intensive care in the hospital, and Bush sends two of his top aides to the hospital to talk John Ashcroft into changing his decision to sign off on this black budget program to say that this is legal. John Ashcroft says, I'm no longer the attorney general. He points over to a guy by the name of Comby, who's his assistant. He said, I'm no longer the attorney general. And Comby shakes his head, I'm not signing it either. They storm out of the room. They go back to the White House. Comby gets a phone call from the White House. They say, President Bush wants you in the White House immediately. And he said, I'm going to get a lawyer before I come. And they said, are you refusing to talk to the president of the United States? They said, I am not. I'm going to have a lawyer that's going to witness what I say. He comes to the White House, and he says, I am not signing this. It is illegal. I'm not going to do it. He tenders his resignation. John Ashcroft tenders his resignation. The head of the FBI tenders his resignation. And 12 people in the Justice Department tender their resignation, saying, we don't care if it's the President of the United States. If it's illegal, we're not going along with it. In the UFO situation, that has not happened. There has been no defection, which means that the people at the top, the president, the people around the president, the attorney general, everybody believes what they're doing is legal. That's why there's no defections. That's why it all holds together. They may be in the wrong. They may be deluded as to what they're doing in the United States at the highest levels with regards to the UFO subject, but they absolutely, everybody believes what they are doing is legal.
It's strange. But he's saying that the president holds the key to everything. But when you talk to a lot of people about UFOs, a lot of people say, oh, it's a load of rubbish, and they say that the CIA, they're in charge. Now you now you were telling me that it's the president who's in charge solely. I'm glad you put some facts straight as well, because people out there don't really know this, Grant.
Yeah. People have that, and I believe that at one point too. I mean, I've only recently changed my opinion on that. The story that people will say when it comes to, you'll hear often in the UFO community, is the story about George Bush Sr. refusing the UFO files to Jimmy Carter. And what happens is that when, now it's done by the NSA, but in prior days, what would happen is if you, say, Bob, you became the president, you would say if you were a governor of a state, you know nothing about intelligence. You know nothing about what special ops is doing in foreign countries. You know nothing about foreign policy or anything like that. So what happens is you win the election in November, like this November, the election will take place. The new president will be sworn in on January the 20th, 2017. So between November and January the 1st, if you're the president, Bob, they got to teach you what to do. I mean, you got to know what's going on. You have no idea what's going on in the CIA, what the CIA is doing. So what they do is they give you a bunch of intelligence briefings. And what they do is they start about a week after you win the election. They come in and they start giving you the presidential daily briefing of all the secret stuff that's happening. And they basically come in and they basically say, and the guy who briefed Obama described this. He comes in and he says, okay, Bob, here's what we're doing. In this country, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're killing these guys, we're overthrowing this country, whatever they're doing. All these things that you would never believe that is going on, that's this top secret stuff. And they say, Mr. President, I just want you to know that we're doing this right now. And unless you tell us to stop in the afternoon after you're sworn in, Bob, we're still going to be doing this stuff. Because this is done on behalf of the President of the United States. So you either decide you want to stop doing whatever they're doing in some foreign country, or you go along with it. So now it's your cover-up. Now it's your whole thing. So what happens that used to be the CIA director of the former administration would give the intelligence briefing for the CIA to the new president. So what happened is Jimmy Carter wins the election in November of 1976. The president before him was Gerald Ford, and his CIA director was Bush Sr. Now, Bush Sr. has always been described as the CIA. You know, he's the big, powerful guy that controls the UFO stuff, and he's this big, powerful guy, whatever. So he gives the briefing to Jimmy Carter, and the story is told from a reliable source that Jimmy Carter asks for the UFO files, and Jimmy Carter says, you can't have them. If you want those files, you have to go to the House Committee on Science and Technology Policy to get those files. So everybody says, okay, here's Jimmy Carter asked for the UFO files, and he's scared of Bush as this powerful guy from the CIA, and Bush tells him to get lost. But if you look at the story carefully, what you see is the fact that Jimmy Carter fired Bush. Bush never served a single day in the Carter administration. He was the guy who gave the briefing to the president-elect, but in January the 20th, 2000, in 1977, when Jimmy Carter took over, he fired Bush and brought in Stansfield Turner, because he didn't trust anybody. He brought in a Navy friend of his, Stansfield Turner, who he could trust as his new CIA director. So he wasn't scared of Bush. He fired him. He never served a day. The other thing is, when Bush refuses him the files, what you have to realize is the importance of the fact that he says to him, if you want those files, you have to go to the House Science and Technology Committee to get those files. If he's talking about the top secret files, the Roswell crash, you know, the Rendlesham Forest type cases and stuff like that, they're not going to be in the House Science and Technology. The House, you have the President as one area of government, then you have the Senate, and the lowest area of government in the United States is the House. So he says the House, if you want those files, you have to go to the House Science and Technology Committee. The top secret SCI files are not going to be in the House Science and Technology Committee. That's going to be the files that Jimmy Carter promised to the people. He said when he got elected, he said, except for the stuff that has to do with weapons, which is going to be the top secret SCI stuff, I'm going to release all the files. I'm going to go through the files, and I'm going to release all the files I can, except for the stuff that has to do with military security, with national security. So the national security stuff is not going to be in the House. The files that he wants are the files for the people. They'd be citing files, reports, stuff like that. Those are the files that he was to go. He's already got the top secret files. He knows he's going to be given the files on Roswell, all that kind of stuff. That's not going to be in the House. So it's the files that he's asked for is the files that he's going to give to the people. So that story gets a bit confusing where people will say, well, he's asking for the files. But you've got to realize he's asking for these files that are in the House, which are going to be very low-level files. So some people will say, okay, for example, they'll say, oh, the CIA is keeping it. I say, well, if they're not giving it to the president and they all they do is work for the president, who are they giving it to? Are they giving it to the Russians? Are they giving it to the Great Britons or the China? Who are they giving it to? If they're not giving it to the president, they have no other option. That's all they do is hand material over to the president. And the whole idea is that the president has to have the best intelligence possible. And one of the weird stories that you'll see, you may have heard or you'll see on the day of inauguration, is that the president's, I don't know what it's like in Great Britain, but I know in Canada, when it comes to the Constitution, Canadians really don't care about the Constitution. We don't know anything about the Constitution. We couldn't care less about the Constitution. But in the United States of America, this is big stuff. The American people are big into the Constitution. They'll say, oh, my First Amendment right to free speech, my Second Amendment right to carry guns, I got my Fourth Amendment right to search and seizure, and all, you know, they know the Constitution backwards and forwards. So you have a situation where people are very sort of into the Constitution. And that's why I say that if something were to happen at a high level, whether it's your chief of staff or your secretary of defense or your attorney general, if they saw it was unconstitutional, they would walk. They would not go through it. And when you see the inauguration day, to show you how much the Constitution means to people who are running the show in the United States of America, when the president is elected on January 20th, you have an incoming president, you have an outgoing president. And as you know, the American president has a what they call a nuclear football that follows him around all the time. It's a 45-pound satchel, which there's an advisor who will see near the president at all times. And this is a satchel that has a communication device in it, which is able to put him in contact immediately with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Pentagon. And if there's a nuclear war, they have all these different options inside this nuclear football, and the president has to make the decision. Do we go to full nuclear war? Do we take a tactical nuclear war? What do we do if something happens? So this nuclear football follows the president around at all times. Now, on the day of inauguration, you have a point during the inauguration where you really don't know who the president is. And most people don't know that on that day, there are two nuclear footballs. There is one that is held by the incoming president, and there is one that is held by the outgoing president. So there are two nuclear footballs.
Nice.
And that is to protect this whole idea that you have to have a commander-in-chief of the U.S. military that is in charge of nuclear weapons. And even for 30 seconds, they make sure that he's in charge, that he's in charge of those weapons. The same as I didn't realize until just a while ago that there is also a nuclear football that follows the vice president around, that is with the vice president. So if the president is assassinated like JFK, then immediately the new president has a football that's within 10 feet of him in case, say, the Russians decide to launch a nuclear war. If the president is assassinated, the vice president is then immediately given the phone, given the nuclear options, is in contact with the Pentagon and with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and makes the decisions. So the Americans are very anal about the Constitution. They're very careful about how it's worded, and people would not go along with it if it wasn't constitutional. What you got to realize, people will say, you'll see stories in the internet. And I tell you, if you ever see a story like this, I warn you, put your hand on your wallet and get ready to duck, because they're lying. A lot of people, you'll see these stories that people will put out and say, I have a security clearance 15 levels above the President of the United States. It is absolutely impossible, because I'm saying this for a fact. You can check me if you don't believe it. It is a fact. The President of the United States does not have a security clearance. He doesn't need a security clearance. He's running the show. He can see whatever he wants. He can ask for whatever he wants. He does not have a security clearance. So people who are saying, I've got a security clearance higher than the President, are lying. The President does not have a security clearance. He has the ultimate clearance to see what he wants, to do what he wants. He is ultimately in power, and the Americans are very much into the Constitution, and that's the way they operate it, that the President is in power. What they want to protect, Bob, this is what the whole story is about. They don't want you to know that the President is in charge. They don't want you to know that the President is the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. They want you to think that there's an evil cabal. They want you to think there's an Illuminati. They want you to think that David Rockefeller and a couple of his buddies from Europe are running the show. They want you to think that because you can't interview them. You can't check it. You can't find out what the evil cabal is doing. But if suddenly the media, the Washington Post, New York Times, suddenly found out that the President of the United States is briefed on the subject of UFOs and he's the guy in charge, everybody knows his phone number. Even I know what the President's phone number is. It's very easy to phone the White House. Suddenly, everybody realizes the President has been briefed. This story's for real, and the President is running the cover-up. Man, then you watch thousands of reporters descend upon the White House and start to ask questions. Because what they want is they want plausible deniability. They want it to look like the President doesn't know what's going on. The President's stupid. He's out, not in charge, because it protects the President from answering questions. They don't want the President to ask questions about UFOs. They don't want him to have to lie. That's what they're trying to protect, is the fact that President, that's the biggest secret in the United States, the President is in charge of the cover-up. He's the wizard behind the curtain.
It's funny you're saying that, because when you talk to other people, they always say, oh, there's three or four people in America who run the show. They're always these big men behind the scenes. They meet every month somewhere else. And like you say, it takes it all away from the President, doesn't it?
Yeah, the President is controlled by a lot of these people. But that's the way it works. I mean, if you look at this campaign that's going on now in the United States, it's going to be $6 billion is going to be spent on this campaign.
Yeah.
In order to run, if you're Hillary Clinton, you're going to have to produce $3 billion to run. In order to do that, you need people to finance your campaign. And the big money people are the people financing the campaign. And it's almost impossible if you're like Hillary Clinton with Citibank or whatever. If you're making speeches for $250,000 to Citibank, it is very hard once you get into the White House to then not listen to Citibank when they ask you for something. You received a lot of money from them. That's how they control the people in the White House, is they provide the money for the campaign. There's no way that you can not be influenced if some big company is giving you a lot of money to run your campaign. That's how they control them. But it's an indirect control that these very rich people are able to control the presidents and all the senators, not just the president, but the senators, because the senators need money to run for election or whatever. And you're beholden to people who are giving you money. That's how it works. And that's how they control it. But it's still, in the end, it's the president that can make the decision. And you may have like big black budget companies that are putting money into the presidential campaigns, so that when it comes and you say, well, we want to release the UFO thing, then these big black budget people will put pressure internally to stop this. So you may have that kind of thing where a president is sort of obligated because of the money they've received from Lockheed Skunk Works or from Boeing or from one of these big companies that's running these black budget programs. And the other thing that you got to realize, and this is something that a lot of people don't realize, you'll hear in the UFO community, and I sort of straightened this out, but people still don't want to listen to me. At the end of the Eisenhower administration, he made this very famous speech. The last speech he ever made was this Beware the Military-Industrial Complex speech. And people have this idea that this is this black budget, controlling the government thing started. is the idea that, you know, Kennedy got assassinated because he stepped over the line and he wanted to release the UFO stuff, and that Eisenhower was warning. When I was doing my FOI material with the various presidential libraries, I went twice or three times to the Eisenhower Library. And when I was there, I would look for the UFO files. And there are really no UFO files. So I'm there for a week. I'm through the UFO files in like 2 hours. So for the rest of the week, I got to figure out something to do. So what I would do is I would read what are called oral histories. In the presidential libraries, you'll find a thing, for example, Bob, say you were the chef for President Eisenhower. So when you leave, I come and do an interview, and it's called an oral history, an exit interview, and I say, Bob, what was it like to work for the president? I mean, what was his favorite food? Did you ever have a fight with the president? Did he ever come to get some food in the middle of the night? You know, how many days a week did you work? And he would ask all these interesting questions about you being the chef of the president. Now, in most of the administrations, there are like 1,000 interviews of all these different people who worked in the White House, and it's just these interesting. So I would read these oral interviews. And what I found at the Eisenhower's, they had actually indexed the subjects that were asked in these oral histories. And what I found out that one of the subjects that was indexed was this military-industrial complex speech. So I went and I pulled all, there was about six interviews where people inside the White House were talking about this. And one of them was Milton Eisenhower. Milton Eisenhower was like a top advisor to the president. It was the president's brother. Very smart guy. He was at Columbia. He was the president of Penn State University. He was the president of Columbia University. And then he was an advisor to his brother in the White House. So Milton Eisenhower was talking about this, and all these six people said the same thing, that when the speech was written, the speech said, beware the military-industrial congressional complex. And they took it out. What it was, what he was warning about, had nothing to do with UFOs. And if you go and look at these oral histories, it will prove that this is true. What it was that what happens is in the United States, when if you're building, say, A1 tanks is a prime example, the Abrams tank. So you're a senator, and there's a big fight. They say, okay, we're going to build Abrams tank, and it's going to be a $20 billion contract to build these things. Okay, Bob, you're a senator in, say, the state of Alabama, and you win the contract. Yeah. Suddenly you have a factory hiring 20,000 people in your district that's building A1 tanks. Okay, then suddenly you get into the, like, where we are at the war right now, and this has actually happened, where the Army says, tanks ain't very good anymore. They're kind of a waste. We don't want any more tanks. And there was actually an article written which was called Tanks But No Thanks. And the Army had said, stop building A1 Abram tanks. And because the senator had 20,000 people employed in his district, we ain't shutting anything down. No way. So that was what Eisenhower was warning about, is the military-industrial congressional complex, that congressmen and senators were making deals to get big, huge military contracts in their districts. And once you got them in there, you couldn't get them out. The senator would block you from stopping them building fighter jets, tanks, all this. And you have like 15% of the American economy is the war industry. You can't just shut it down, because if you're a senator and you allow 20,000 people to get laid off, you're gone. So the congressman will fight for this.
Correct.
And what happened was, that was the original speech. He was saying, beware the military-industrial congressional complex, this deals that are being made in Congress to get this stuff in there. And he was told not to insult the Congress. So they took it out. They said, beware the military-industrial complex. They took the word congressional out of the speech so he wouldn't affect, sort of demean congressmen. It had nothing to do with UFOs. But now we say, oh, he was warning about UFOs. It had nothing to do with UFOs. So we sort of get these ideas, and once they get into UFO literature, it's almost possible to kill them. Even though I can show you the actual quotes, who talked about it, how the speech was written, show you the speeches, people will still want to believe that he was warning about the UFO stuff. Eisenhower was in charge. And Kennedy was in charge. There's actually the story told about Kennedy, Tim Good from your country, very famous UFO researcher, very prominent UFO researcher, tells the story about the former air advisor to Eisenhower. And he got it through a very high-level source who said that he flew Kennedy to Florida to look at the bodies. And so if Kennedy is looking at the bodies, He's not out of the loop. He knows what's going on. He's in charge. Nixon showed the bodies to Gleason. That shows he knows what's going on. Barack Obama says, we'll keep our secrets here. He knows what's going on. The president is in the loop. And this idea that the president is out of the loop has been created as disinformation to protect the president.
Yes, that's so true. Yeah, I'm glad you've been on tonight to confirm a lot of different things. What a lot of people have talked about and dismissed the president as saying, no, he didn't have a word in there. People above him. I'm glad you've sorted that problem out as well, because if anybody asks me now, I shall tell them. He's solely in charge. That's him.
Yeah, people got to realize, and this is another thing that kind of annoys me. In fact, Colin Andrews is going to put out an article in the next day or two that's going to talk about this. And it's got to do with this evil government thing. The one thing I'm starting to fight against is the evil alien idea, this crazy idea of the evil aliens, and also the evil government. A lot of people believe there's an evil government. And what you got to realize, and this is what I realized when I went to the presidential libraries, and I started when I started to change my opinion, is the idea that there's a bunch of evil guys in the government, and they're there to keep the thing secret, and if you don't like it, they'll come and kill you, and they killed Kennedy, and all these rumored stories that get leaked around. And what I found was, when I went there, there was really no UFO documents, so I would read these oral histories, and I would read stuff of people that everybody always thought was evil, like Kissinger and Rumsfeld and all these people, and I would read their oral histories. And some of these oral histories were like 150 pages long, and they would ask about this policy and that policy, and why do you do this, why do you do that. And I would read these oral histories, and at the end of the oral histories, I go, you know, he's not such a bad guy. You know, there would be something that I would disagree that he had done. And then when I read his explanation of why he had done it, I would go, you know, that makes sense. I can see why he would do that. And that's when I started to change. And what I realized, and this is what people don't realize, is that no matter what government you're in, everybody thinks they're the good guys. Everybody thinks they're saving the world. There is nobody in the government. For example, do you think that George Bush Sr., and I show a picture when I lecture, I'll show George Bush Sr. with his wife and his sons and then his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and this family picture from Christmas, you know, with like 40 people. And I say, do you think George Bush Sr. actually goes to his office every day, puts this picture on his desk and looks at the picture and says, you know, I got to figure a way to destroy the world. I got to destroy the world. He actually thinks he's saving the world. Now, he may be totally wrong. He may be totally deluded. He may be out in left field. But everybody thinks they're saving the world. And that includes ISIS. If you look at ISIS, you say, oh, it's evil guys. I mean, they're just terrible, evil guys. But if you go in, and what people don't realize, you go and interview the ISIS people, they think we're the evil guys. They call the American the great Satan. They actually honestly believe they're saving the world. Now, they're maybe totally deluded. It's the old idea. Everybody, Hitler thought he was saving the world. Everybody thinks they're saving the world.
Correct.
And so it comes down to this idea that we have this idea that if somebody's evil, then we can kill them. And I say there really is no evil. There's just the belief in evil. So if you're Hitler and you believe that the Jews are evil and you really believe it, then you're going to go out and try to kill all the Jews. If you're Al-Qaeda and you believe that all Americans are evil, then you believe the Americans are evil, then you're going to try to kill all Americans. And if everybody stopped believing in evil, for example, I say, well, Bob, I don't believe you're evil, then you don't have to worry about me, Bob, because I'm not going to come and drop a bomb on you. I'm not going to try to kill you.
Correct.
It's just like you're another – We are all spirits in this world in a human incarnation. And that was the important thing about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan said it, and so did Hillary Clinton, and so did Bill Clinton. They had this alien invasion remark. And what he said is, how I've often wondered, Reagan called it his fantasy. I've often wondered how the world would unite if we all were under threat from an alien race. How the world would unite and we'd all believe that we're God's children and we're all just one. That's the key message that the aliens are putting out. Oneness. We are all one. There's no difference between you and me. We're just different incarnations. That if you're a reincarnation, you may come back next time as an ISIS guy. You may come back as an American. You may come back. That whatever race you think is the evil race is probably the one you're coming back as next. So you can learn to associate with that race, that we are all one. And that was the Reagan message. And Hillary has used it, and so has Bill Clinton used it. This idea that that the world is all one. And that's one of the reasons I think that the Americans don't want this thing disclosed, is because, and I've even said, warned Americans, and I've said, if this thing that's disclosed, then you suddenly have the world government, and it won't be run by the United States of America. The United States of America, they're very, I don't know if you, how many times you've been to the United States, but Americans are very patriotic. It's like Trump's big thing. It's America first. We're Americans. We're great. We're God's light to the world. We're the greatest people in the world and stuff like that. And then suddenly, once there's disclosure, once it becomes known that there's aliens, then suddenly there's no such thing as Americans anymore. Then we're Earthlings. And it's going to be hard for Americans to give that up. Same as it would be hard for Canadians to give up the fact that I'm a Canadian. Now it's like there's almost a sort of an expression that that patriotism is the last refuge for scoundrels, that this is something that is going to be very hard to give up, that we're Americans or we're Great Britons or whatever. No, we're human beings. We're just vibrations on this earth. We're here to learn a lesson, and that's something that's going to be very, very difficult for the Americans to give up, and one of the reasons why they may not want this thing disclosed, because right now it's a world run by the United States of America. They are the big superpower. They are the power in the world, but if disclosure comes, then they're just another country. They're no better than anybody else. Suddenly we realize that there is no God-chosen race. We're all just God's people, or whatever you want to call it. The Britons aren't any better than the Canadians, and the Canadians aren't any better than the Americans. We're all just the same types of people. And that was the big statement that Ronald Reagan made when to Gorbachev, was how we would all be united if we realized that we were under threat from a foreign alien nation. And it's a key point, because that is, if you look at the survey that was done, the free survey, the Edgar Mitchell survey of experiencers, 2,300 experiencers, over 50%, 51 or 54% of all people who are experiencers who have interacted with aliens have been told about oneness. That is the key message, oneness and love. And it's how they get here. It's oneness. There is no time. There is no space. They're able to move through time and space because everything's connected. That's how they get here. And you cannot get here unless you understand this oneness principle, both in terms of physics, quantum physics, how there's no time and space. Everything's connected. You're just moving through this hologram, or the sort of the spiritual idea that we're all connected. We're all one. And the aliens have described this many, many times, this very key lesson about oneness.
Wonderful. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show. We've about just run out of time. It's been absolutely wonderful again. It's I think it's about a year ago since you last were on the show. Maybe over a year since you last on the show.
Yep.
We'll have to have you on again when you get your new book out.
Yep. And watch carefully with Hillary. It's going to be interesting, so everybody should pay attention. I'd say this is significant, and I've been doing it for 30 years. This is something that's never happened. I'm very positive that something is going to happen once Hillary gets into office.
Well, thank you so much again, and you take care. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, Bob. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.